the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league home run with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Coming to you tonight for the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore, Superstore 52, Super Bowl 52. Superstore 52. A lot of great sales. We'll talk about that as the evening moves on. Jim Cushland's back at the studios. Got a highlight package coming up. We're going to go over this game one more time for you right around 5:15 or so tonight. I might as well take down the number. I get an interview today in Minneapolis from a guy that's covered the Philadelphia Eagles for about 30 years. A little bit of a problem, I think, with the quality. We're going to give it a try anyways. He was at the airport. He writes for the paper there called The Philly Voice. His name is Jimmy Kemsky. Been writing for a long time. Had some good takes on the game. Took us, inside the locker room a little bit. So, again, not too bad. We're going to try to run it around, 5:30 tonight. But first, just a couple of things. You know, if I'm a Detroit Lions fan yesterday, first things first, the game was absolutely, outstanding. What a football game, 41-33. Philadelphia, of course, wins it. I got to tell you, blow for blow, play for play, might have been one of the best that I've ever seen. I mean, it was riveting of football if you're a big football fan. But as a Lions fan, I got a little nervous yesterday. Of course, on Wednesday about 3 o'clock, we understand that Matt Patricia is going to be named the head coach of the Detroit Lions. No secret there. I've been talking about this for about 3 or 4 weeks, but I'm watching this yesterday, and I couldn't help but think, and that's why I'm going to open up the phone lines at about 5:35, 5:40 tonight. Of course, the number is 866-240-1065, and if you're a Detroit Lions fan, tell me if you were thinking what I was thinking watching this game. I mean, Philadelphia, they get 25 first downs in that game. Total net yards, 538. I get it. 613 yards for New England. Rushing yards, 27 rushes for 164 yards for Philadelphia. They had 3 running backs really doing damage yesterday. Passing yards, 374. Again, total net yards for Philadelphia yesterday, 538 yards. I get it. New England had 613. And listen, Matt Patricia might turn out to be the best hire that the Detroit Lions ever had. But watching this yesterday, again, an observation, not a criticism, I'm sitting here thinking, this Philadelphia didn't do this to a lot of teams this year. New England could make teams look like that when Gronk and Brady are rolling and that offense is rolling for New England. But lo and behold, for crying out loud, Philadelphia went up and down that field. It was just absolutely unbelievable. And then they would kind of zoom in on Matt Patricia. I'm going, wow, unreal. But, I mean, that's really, you can't really decide if that's what's to come for Detroit Lions fans. But Philadelphia basically moved the ball at will. New England did as well. Philadelphia hung in there when they had to. We will go over the games as well. You know, the Super Bowl, I read today, the top 20 television shows ever witnessed, 19 of those are Super Bowl games. The ratings were down yesterday. I'm not sure the reason why, but down again yesterday. I mean, you could throw a lot of different things in there. I want to see the final ratings on this. But the top 20 television shows ever witnessed, 19 of those have been Super Bowls. And how about Philadelphia? I mean, there's a story. They were 7-9 last year. And you talk about parity in football, 7-9, they're the Super Bowl champs. By the way, just four teams now that have never won a Super Bowl. Both of them pretty close to us. The Detroit Lions, the Cleveland Browns have not won. Jacksonville, Houston has not won as well. So only four teams that's never appeared in a Super Bowl. I'll put it that way. Detroit, Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Houston. Winning drive, holy smokes, 14 plays, including a big fourth down conversion. I got to tell you, you got to love the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson, who was a backup quarterback, of course, to Dan Marino. And, listen, was a veteran guy, came in there. I don't know if I ever remember a coach making gutsier calls. And, again, no fear for Doug Peterson. I get the call in the fourth quarter there late where you're going to go for it. You can't give Brady back the ball on the 40-yard line. He goes in. To me, it was a no-brainer. I was actually on a team bus in Canada coming back. We had the game basically zoomed in on satellite television. That was the first thing out of my mouth. I had people looking at me like I was, had an eye in the middle of my forehead. I said, you got to go for it. There's no question you have to go for this. You cannot give New England the ball with about 4.5 to go at around midfield. In fact, inside midfield, racing down the field, and all of a sudden, this thing is over. Again, hats off to Doug Peterson, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Foles was the MVP. He was great. Graham on that strip, obviously a big call. Philadelphia great on the third downs. Another thing, too, hats off to the Philadelphia Eagle fans. They were loud. That was a home game for Philadelphia. They were all over this thing. 1,151 yards in that football game. Again, all I could think was, Matt Patricia. The other side of this, too, with New England, what's going on there? We understand that, of course, Kraft and Brady and Belichick are going to meet here this week to talk about the future. I don't know if all these things were blown out of proportion, whether there's some friction there. Listen, let's be real about this. These guys have been together for a long, long time. In the common workplace of most Americans, you seem to see the same people on an everyday basis. There's always a little friction, I think, between some people in the workplace. It's never going to be perfect. It's like family. You're around them all the time. It's not going to be perfect. So for me to be surprised at Belichick, Brady, and Kraft, there's some things there. The Garoppolo thing going to San Francisco certainly was a lot of people think a point of contention, but Brady basically said he's going to play for a couple of more years. He's 40 years old. He looked great yesterday. I mean, passing yards yesterday for Tom Brady, and even 500. I mean, 40 years of age. Gronk was great. He's talking about retirement as well. I read someplace not long ago that Gronkowski has every cent of his contract money, and that's about $150 million, has never touched it. And basically lives off his endorsements. He said he's never bought a big home, big car, doesn't spend it, lives off his endorsement money, which rumored estimates there is about $6 million a year. So, basically you can live in that, I'm sure. But he's a guy that's done very well with his money. I mean, is he going to be back? I think he's had 7 surgeries, back surgeries, elbow surgeries, shoulder surgeries, had a couple of leg issues as well. Players now, I mean, look at Calvin Johnson, 28, 29 to 30 years of age, they're starting to hang it up. Guys aren't hanging around for another paycheck because the paychecks are so big. So, what's going on in New England? That's a great question. Belichick, Brady, Gronkowski, you're losing your offensive and your defensive coordinator as well. Josh McDaniels going to Indianapolis. I heard some rumors last night that that might not be the case. Patricia, of course, to the Lions. But a tremendous, tremendous football game, 41-33. Hats off to the Philadelphia Eagles. And Nick Foles, replacing Carson Wentz when he came in and went down and had a couple of clunkers, a couple of good games. But I got to tell you, yesterday, his heart beat yesterday. I mean, it was like this guy was taking a walk through the park with his dog. Calm, cool, you know, basically just collected and picked out his receivers. Nobody touched Brady yesterday except for that final play with Graham. So the offensive, the defensive line. I like Philadelphia all week long, and I think I said this on this show. I ended up not taking him in a friendly wager with a friend of mine. I switched at the end, and you want to talk about a horrible call. The over-under was 49. I figured if Philadelphia was going to win this game, it was going to be like 24-20. Huh, yeah, 49. I took the under against this buddy of mine and got absolutely smoked on this thing. So, again, I like Philly all week. I didn't go with him, but that was the call. Hats off to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you for the Monroe Superstore. Super Bowl 52. Superstore 52, great deal. $148 a month for a 2018 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Express 4x4 here at the Superstore. Low Payment King, by the way. What a lineup right now. Used car, big game specials. Again, come out and see us. Visit the website, MonroeSuperstore.com. We're going to go over the game here in a moment. Again, Eagles are the Super Bowl champs. Back after this.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Little Jimmy Page for you there. Glad to have you on board. Well, again, we're going to go over this one yesterday. Jim has got the highlights back in the studios, and, of course, this is Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed in a couple things. Number one, and nothing Jim can do about this, but I think Kevin Harlan does just a wonderful, wonderful job for Westwood One Sports along with Kevin Kugler. Kevin Harlan, to me, is the best play-by-play football man in the business. He had the call, I believe, yesterday. We're going to go television style on this one. Just one thing here, though. I mean, I saw, you know, of course, the touchdown by Philadelphia, Ernst, that 11-yard pass from Foles with 2:21 remaining in the game. I got to tell you, clearly to me, and again, I was watching this on a team bus, and the audio was not great. There was a lot of people talking, so I could not hear the call, you know, clearly. But somebody correct me, Jim, maybe you can. I just thought clearly. Ernst got into the end zone there and turned into a runner. I mean, to me, it was two and a half steps when he dove in. And from what I heard from Michaels and Collinsworth, they were trying to turn this into some kind of controversial call again. I thought it was an easy call. Once that receiver turns into a runner, the rules that dictate whether it's a catch when you cross the goal line as a receiver as opposed to a runner is clear. I didn't see any problem with it whatsoever. And the more I heard from Michaels and especially Collinsworth, I mean, to me, listen, I don't want to be critical of guys that are pretty good at their business. I mean, Al Michaels has called, what, 7 or 8 Super Bowl games? But it was Collinsworth. I just thought once a receiver turns into a runner, to me it was strictly clear that he was a runner. Jim, did you see that?
Yeah, I did, and that's kind of what I thought as I watched it live and as I'm watching the replays as they're trying to, you know, figure it out with the review that was logically going to happen. Yeah, it sure as heck, even on first glance, looked like, yeah, he caught it, and then he had made the turn, and he had switched from receiver to runner. So I knew they were going to review it just because that's the rule nowadays. But I would have been shocked as all get out if that got overturned, honestly.
No, to me, he took three big strides before he went into the end zone. So they got it right, and I thought a little TV drama in there, especially from Chris Collinsworth. All right, let's recap this one for you. Philadelphia got on the board first with 7:55 to go in that first quarter. Elliott, a 25-yarder. Gostkowski then a 26-yarder, 4:17 to go. Here comes Philadelphia then, Jeffrey. What a game he had. 34-yard pass from Foles. Kick failed, by the way. That was a factor in this one. But Philadelphia scores the first touchdown of the evening.
Off play action. Going for it all into the end zone. And it is caught. Alshon Jeffrey for the touchdown.
And Nick Foles told us, he said, early in this game, I want to be able to take my shot.
Again, that was Jeffries, 9-3 at the end of the first quarter for Philadelphia. Then Blunt, a 21-yard run for Philadelphia. Pass failed here, and Philadelphia goes up 15-3.
Blunt is in the backfield. LeGarrette Blunt swings to the outside, inside the 10. Blunt to the end zone, behind a Celek block. His 11th career postseason TD.
15-3 for Philadelphia. Gostkowski then a 45-yarder for New England. Made it 15-6. Here's White, New England. 26-yard run. Yep, kick failed. 2:04 to go in the second period. New England with the touchdown.
Big hole left side. James White. Inside the 10. Takes it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Patriots with the touchdown again. The kick failed there. Maybe the play of the game. Foles, a 1-yard pass from Burton. Elliott the kick. And points number 21 and 22 go on the board with the extra point. Here's that great play, great call by the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson. Big one here. Foles in the 1-yard touchdown.
And they're going to snap it. And it's Trey Burton who throws caught. Foles, touchdown.
Here we go. They've got all these signals. Shotgun, he would not have been eligible, but for the fact he was in the shotgun, not under center. And there's the old basketball player.
22-12 at halftime, and what a way.
Hey, can I bring up something real quick, Mike, if I may?
Football game.
You know, yeah. I just want to bring this up, too, on that. There's so many weird stats and things from this game. That makes Foles the first quarterback in Super Bowl history to ever catch a touchdown pass, but he's actually not the first quarterback to catch a pass of any kind in a Super Bowl. I found out apparently Jim Kelly and John Elway also caught passes as receivers once.
Well, you know, on the other side of this was New England tried to, you know, throw a pass up the right side to Brady, who's getting butchered a little bit here today because, hey, didn't look like the most athletic guy stretching out trying to make the grab there. But good point there. Foles, touchdown, 1-yard pass from Burton, 22-12. That is at the end of the first half. Gronkowski then for New England. Did he ever turn it up in the second half? 5-yard pass from Tom Brady, and New England gets on the board.
4-man rush, and then it's caught. Gronkowski for the touchdown.
Gronkowski with the touchdown for New England. And at that point in time with the extra point, New England takes a 23-22 lead. Here comes Clement, 22-yard pass from Foles. Elliott got the kick. And here comes Philadelphia right back.
The pass into the end zone, and it is Corey Clement. Yes, touchdown.
How many times, Al, do we come into the Super Bowl and we say, who is it? Who's the unknown?
29-23, that point for Philadelphia. What a game Hogan had for a New England. 26-yard pass from Brady, and New England strikes again with 3:23 to go in the third quarter.
Play fake on first down. To the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Hogan.
Hogan gets that big afternoon for him as well, especially in the second half. And down the stretch, we go into the fourth quarter. You know what? 9:22 of the fourth quarter. Here comes Gronkowski again from Brady. Gostkowski on the extra point. And here we go. New England on the board.
And Brady lost one for Gronkowski. Reaching for it. Touchdown. They look unstoppable right now.
Boy, they did look unstoppable, but here's the play of the game. Of course, that sack is one of them, but how about Ertz, an 11-yard pass from Foles, the play we just touched on, 2:21 remaining in the game. Philadelphia got it back. Great calls down the stretch by Doug Peterson. Here is that big, big touchdown for Philadelphia.
From the 12.
Zach Ertz out wide, one-on-one.
Clement flares out to the right, caught over the middle, and into the end zone. Zach Ertz for the touchdown. And again, all you can think back to now is the Jesse James play with Pittsburgh. Does he complete the process?
Well, there they go. Al and Collinsworth, they turned into a runner. Let's not try to make this, you know, that really bothered me. It was so clear to me. I mean, two and a half steps, touchdown, easy call, replay guys got it right. We talk about the defense in this game. There wasn't much. Biggest defensive game on this strip coming up right here.
Uh-oh. Brady gets hit. The ball is out, and Philadelphia has it. Derek Barnett comes away with it.
Pays huge dividends with the first sack fumble of the game.
Big stuff. Graham involved as well. Philadelphia wins it again by a score of 41 to 33. It was a great football game. No doubt about that. Entertaining. I thought it'd be a little bit more defensive oriented. Wasn't the case. Philadelphia, they're the world champs. Lions have a new coach. They'll name Matt Patricia on Wednesday. Didn't have his best day on Sunday. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. This is Drive Time. My name's Mike Miller. The show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
In local sports talk, it's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time for the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. My name is Mike Miller. Of course, Super Bowl 52 yesterday. What a tremendous, tremendous amount of entertainment, drama, and I guess the good news for Philadelphia Eagles fans, they win the Super Bowl. Prayed, of course, in Philadelphia on Wednesday. Jimmy Kemsky joins me now from, I found it today online. I loved his story. Philly voice. Jimmy, number one, thanks for taking the time.
Sure, Mike. Glad to have you join
you. No, great.
The parade was changed to Thursday, by the way, for the bad weather. Not that anyone, you know, your area is going to go, but.
Oh, okay.
They did change it.
No, good stuff. Thanks for the update there. I mean, you touched on some things, and it's funny because I was writing down, you know, obviously hosting this show, some of the things that I was going to touch on, and I found your story today. I mean, first things first, I want to talk about the Philadelphia fans. I mean, the level of excitement and the noise in that building, congratulations to them. You know, we've heard a lot about Philly fans over the years. They can be a little tough, even on Santa Claus. Everybody knows that story. But, well, congratulations yesterday. I think it was a distinct home field advantage for Philadelphia in Minneapolis.
Yeah, they did that all year. So week four, they played in Los Angeles. They played the Chargers. And no joke, it was like 80, 90%. Eagles fans at that game. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like that at the Post Stadium before. A little later in the season, they played again in Los Angeles against the Rams at the Coliseum. That was around 50, 60% Eagles fans. And then there was a game late in the season. This would normally happen because the Giants had won, I guess, like two games at that point. I think it was week 15. They had a lot of fans there. And actually, the Giants had a late false start. They were driving to win the game, potentially. And I think they were around like the 6-yard line. They had a false start because Eagles fans were being loud. And being at home, they didn't have a silent count because they didn't expect the opposing fans to kind of mess up their cadence. But that's what they did. And they had a false start that backed them up to the 11. And then it became a lot more difficult to, you know, score a touchdown on fourth down. So all season long, the Eagles fans have affected games on the road.
No, it's great because we see it yesterday and you see it week in and week out. Hats off to the Philly fans. I used to love making that trip down there doing Devils Flyers games, and it's such a great sports town. But I guess, you know, Nick Foles, who was the MVP in the game yesterday, you know, Jimmy, I would imagine Philadelphia in complete angst when Carson Wentz went down. What a tremendous story, and I got to tell you, his heartbeat yesterday, I mean, he looked like he was as calm and cool, no nerves. He wasn't surprised to be there. I guess that's not a good word. He didn't act like he was surprised to be there. Give me your take on that. And listen, you've been close to this team for a long time, but what a tremendous story.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they lost Darren Sproles early in the season. And, you know, people thought, well, that's gonna leave a mark. And then they lost Jason Peters for the season with a torn ACL, and they lost Jordan Hicks, the young, really good playmaking linebacker in the middle of their defense. They lost him for the season. And then, of course, as you mentioned, they lost Carson Wentz week 14 against the Rams, and everyone kind of went, well, that's the end of them. And then, you know, Nick Foles comes in. He played okay in his first game against the Giants, and then he really, really had a couple bad outings against the Oakland Raiders week 16, and then he only played a couple quarters or a quarter or two against the Dallas Cowboys week 17, and was ultimately a meaningless game. Looked really bad in that game, too. So heading into the playoffs, you know, the Eagles were going to be underdogs against pretty much anyone that they faced, and they were, as the one seed facing the number six seed, Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, Foles played well enough in that game. He didn't have a stellar game, but he played well enough for them to win. They put up 15 points, and defense really came through. They got past them, and then in these last two games, you know, first against the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game, and then, of course, as everyone saw last night in the Super Bowl, he was on fire. I mean, he really played elite-level football in those two games. I'm not calling him an elite player by any chance, or by any stretch, but he played like an elite quarterback in those two games, and, you know, the Eagles had a Super Bowl as a result.
No, unbelievable. Jimmy Kemsky joins me here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Lions and the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. Doug Peterson, I mean, listen, you can talk about coaches that have had great days calling plays, and, you know, you speak about having some guts and some conviction and some faith about his, you know, with his players in certain and tough situations. Wow, what a day for him as well. And, hey, this is a guy, we're not messing around with this. And late in the game, I knew what he's thinking, at least I thought I did. We're not giving the ball back to New England. Yeah, I'm going for it. Tremendous day for the coach of the Eagles.
He did that all year. So, like, you know, all the people who cover him, all year, that was nothing new. So the Eagles actually went for it on fourth down more than any other team in the NFL aside from, I think it was Green Bay Packers, which is rare for a team that went 13-3, because a lot of teams that, you know, have a high number of, fourth down attempts are doing so because they're down late in the game, and they kind of have to because they're trying to catch up. Whereas, you know, you don't really see 13-3 teams do that often because they have leads and you're just going to be conservative and punt more often than not on fourth down. But he was aggressive all season long, and they had a high success rate on fourth down. They converted a key fourth down, I think it was fourth and goal against the Falcons, in which they scored. They converted a fourth down against the Patriots late in the game, where they got a pass to Zach Ertz for 2 yards, and that continued to drive where they scored. And then, of course, that fourth and one play near the end of the first half.
Wow.
Where they ran the trick play.
Wow.
To go for it, was one thing. And I think, you know, anyone who's covered the team fully expected him to go for it there. But to run the play that he did, you know, really kind of took some cojones. And he was rewarded by it with obviously the touchdown for Nick Foles.
Jimmy, take it a step further. You mentioned the X's and the O's and his, listen, I'm not going to say riverboat gambler, I'm going to say his conviction. Give me a little bit on his DNA. You deal with him in his press conferences. What else stands out about him?
Well, in terms of going for it, it's the Eagles really employ sort of a like a mathematical metrics kind of approach. That's the wrong terminology, but I think you understand what I mean. Where, you know, they actually have somebody in the booth advising him on the percentages, and, you know, if you go for it, then you increase your odds of winning the game by 0.6%. So, you know, that might entice them to go for it in situations that, you know, traditionally in football, it's, you know, you don't go for it in those situations. But in terms of him as a coach, you know, he's a guy that I think the players respect because he is a former player in his own right. He played for, you know, well over a decade in the NFL. He played behind Dan Marino. He played behind Brett Favre. He played behind Donovan McNabb. So he played with some great players, and, you know, he understands the psyche of the players. He understands the emotional intelligence of the players, and I think he connects with the players well. He doesn't have an ego. He lets his assistant coaches kind of do their jobs, and he takes input from everyone, from the offensive coordinator to the quarterback's coach to the running back coach to the offensive line coach. He takes all their ideas in, and not only takes them in, but incorporates them into the game plan. So I think everyone feels like they're involved, And I think when people feel like they're involved, they work better and they work smarter, and you have a collaborative approach that just works.
Okay, we're talking to Jimmy Kemsky, Philly voice. My name is Mike Miller. This is Drive Time at ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. A couple quick ones, Jimmy. Thanks for taking the time. I know it's a travel day for you as well. You know, that's going to lead to a final question as well. Tell me about the strip, please. That was a huge play, if you could.
Yeah, I mean, at some point they were going to have to make a play because they just, I mean, let's just call it what it was. The defense was just getting obliterated by Tom Brady. I mean, they'd scored three straight, they scored three touchdowns on three straight drives. Four, if you take out, you know, the Patriots' final drive at the end of the first half. The Eagles really weren't doing much in the way of stopping them. And, you know, they've gotten big plays all year, and their defensive line has kind of been, you know, thought of as one of the best in the NFL. Weren't really doing a great job of getting to Brady early in the game, but in that moment, Brandon Graham, who was originally kind of thought of as a first-round bust for many years, he's been a much, much better player over the last three or four years, sort of an unheralded, unrecognized guy. But last year, he really broke out. This year, he put up some numbers to go along with, you know, his just solid overall play as a pass rusher and a guy who does a good job stopping the run. And they actually rushed him from the inside on that play, so he was playing defensive tackle. And he was able to get the inside rush, and he forced the fumble. Derek Barnett scoops up the loose ball. And then at that point, game isn't over, but, you know, certainly it tilted the odds in Eagles' favors dramatically on that play. And you know, they finally got a stop against Tom Brady with a five-point lead. And I think when everyone, you know, kind of watching that game, was looking at that situation and saying, we've seen this movie before. And Tom Brady's going to go down and score. So, I mean, enormous, monstrous play.
No, absolutely unbelievable. And Jimmy, before I let you go, how about, you know, you mentioned you're traveling today. How about Minneapolis as a host in a cold weather city? Tell me about your experience there, if you could.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining because covering football is, you know, not the worst job in the world. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. But if I have my choice between Minneapolis and, say, New Orleans, I might choose the latter on that one. But no, it's fine. I mean, they ran it well, and it's a nice city. And, you know, certainly the weather was cold. I mean, it was most days when you woke up, you kind of checked your phone, it was in negative temperatures. So it was cold, and I'm from New Jersey, so it's not like I'm completely, you know, ignorant to cold weather. We have it there too. So, you know, not that big of a deal, but if I had my choice, I'd probably prefer, you know, San Diego, New Orleans.
I'm with you, brother. You don't have to convince me, especially this time of year. We get enough in Michigan as well. Hey, before I let you go, again, I enjoyed your story today. How do the folks here in Southeast Michigan and Northwest Ohio take a look at your work?
Oh, yeah, I guess you can follow me on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky.
Good stuff, Jimmy. Thanks a lot for coming on. Travel safe, and sometime down the road, I'm going to put your name in my lockbox here. We might call on you again. Appreciate you taking the time.
All right, Mike. Appreciate it.
That's Jimmy Kemsky, Philly voice. This is Drive Time, ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, home of the Lions, the Buckeyes. Back with more after
time on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Superstore 52, Super Bowl 52, same age. Again, tremendous game yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles beating New England, again, in Minneapolis yesterday. The final score, it was a dandy, by the way, as the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots in a, boy, an offensive display. Eagles win it 41-33. You just heard the promo for this. Wednesday, we're probably going to do something, too, from Purdue, where, boy, Chris Holtman's doing such a wonderful job with the Ohio State Buckeyes. They're 11-1 in the Big Ten. Purdue is 12-0. I believe they're ranked number 3. We'll have the game right here on the ticket. So Wednesday night, We'll do a preview on that. I'm going to guess that Nick Petrovich will be at Purdue for that game that night, so we'll probably do a preview on Wednesday. Pistons, boy, they are absolutely rolling. They've won three straight, two, by the way, with Blake Griffin. They have Portland tonight. That's up at the Little Caesars Arena. Then on Wednesday night, they have Brooklyn at home. Friday night, you guessed it, the Los Angeles Clippers. So three games this week, all midweek and end week games, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the Pistons, creating a buzz with Blake Griffin. I'm going to be very interested tonight. I've talked about this. Again, we've had Tom Wilson on and other people in past years from Olympia Entertainment. Can't get him on right now. I don't think they're trying to avoid us, but listen, it's an overused term in sports today, and it's optics. But I have to tell you, both the Red Wings and the Pistons, these games, you turn them on in these empty seats, to me, you just shake your head. So I'll be very interested tonight. It's a Monday night. I got to tell you, I'm sure a lot of people partied yesterday and, you know, had a long night, a long evening, you know, a busy weekend as well. So I think that's kind of a tough draw, a Monday night game. I think folks, this would be at night. They want to get inside in the cold weather and stay home. So I'm going to tune in a little bit of that Pistons-Portland game tonight to see, well, number one, if there's anybody there. Detroit can get back to 500 tonight. They go into that game 25-26 against the Portland Trail Blazers, again, at the Little Caesars Arena. So that's the other stories. Really, today we went over the Super Bowl, of course, and Jim did a great job of compiling the highlights. We did that. I gave you my thoughts on things. I think this New England Patriots situation is going to be a very, very interesting offseason to keep an eye on them. I mean, they're losing their offensive and their defensive coordinator, Belichick. Who knows what's I mean, really, who knows what's going on in the back of his head? Brady's 40. There seems to be some tension, whether they, you know, admit it or not, between Kraft, Belichick, and Brady. Listen, I've worked for a number of organizations. These things happen. These guys have been around each other for a long time. They're all, you know, powerful alpha males. You got the owner, maybe the greatest quarterback that ever played, and a guy that no NFL coach likes to go up against, but certainly it was Doug Peterson yesterday, enjoying every moment of that. So is Gronk going to retire? Brady's 40. I don't want to say it's the end of an era, but very, very interesting to watch New England in the offseason. First thing I thought yesterday, though, watching again Philadelphia going up and down that field yesterday. Matt Patricia, they announced it today. Wednesday, he'll be up at, I'm going to guess, Ford Field or Allen Park for the official announcement that he's the head coach of the Detroit Lions. We are, of course, a Detroit Lions network station. But Philadelphia, 538 total net yards yesterday, 27 rushes for 164, and 374 passing yards against New England. There is your new head coach, and that was his defense yesterday. I don't know what it means. I'm just saying, observation yesterday wasn't, you know, exactly great. How about Malcolm Butler last year? He rode in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, played 98% of the defensive snaps against New England this year, did not play yesterday. He did something to irritate somebody, no doubt about that. Jim is in tomorrow, by the way. I have a little medical procedure. They're going to knock me out. So, listen, I've babbled enough on the show. If I come on tomorrow after the procedure, I could really do some babbling, no doubt about it. So, again, Jim's in tomorrow. I'll talk to you Wednesday from Savannah Tamashanner, doubleheader, drive time driven by the Low Payment King, and face-off tonight from the Superstore. This is ESPN The Ticket, and my name's Mike Miller, and this is Drive Time. Good night, everybody.